Before we start our message, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Whatever we brought, we offered unto you. Now it's a time for us to receive from you. Father, as you put your word in my heart, let that word come forth as you want us to be. In the same way we pray, Spirit of God, take control over this situation and open the spiritual ears of every one of us to understand the scripture as you want us to be. In all things, let your word encourage us, edify us, and that will glorify you alone. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen. Again, it's my privilege to stand before you to share God's word after a long time, and I'm so much privileged. So today, it's not a very big or a doctrinal message, very simple message, but let us pay attention to God's word. And for this today's message, I choose the text from Colossians chapter 2, verses from 6 to 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10 from NIV version. I request Sister Rekha to read it.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lies in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority.
Thank you. If you look at the scripture, they are all very foundational and the fundamental truth for every believer. It is not a new thing. Everything is known to us. We are aware by that. Very specially in this chapter, and there are divisions, but all things, it talks about the freedom, different freedom. Freedom from 4 onwards, it speaks about freedom from enticing words, freedom from vain philosophy, that's from 8, freedom from improper worship, freedom from doctrine of men. The whole chapter is compiled together. But today this message is titled as a Living in Christ. As we read from verse 4, it says, so then, he spoke something before that. What is that? Verse 4, just read it.
I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments.
Verse 5.
For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is.
So this is, all of us know, this is written to the church. What he understood, you just imagine the situation. And as if the text is coming to us as a church, as a bread of life. What he says, he is physically far from the church. He is far, but he is telling, he is writing to the church. So with this concept, you have to read and look at the scripture and understand what really he speaks about. What he says first, verse 5, verse 4 you know. Verse 5, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit. You believe that? Yes. And it is appreciation. Delighted to see how disciplined you are. How many of us are disciplined? How many of us are eligible for this greeting? You know it. Delighted to see how disciplined you are. He considers all of us well disciplined. And also, second thing, how firm your faith in Christ. Hello? It is speaking about us. Are you very firm in our faith in Jesus Christ? What is that? We are all believers. We believed in Jesus Christ. Our faith is in Him. So He says, we are disciplined people and we have a strong faith in the Lord, in Christ. If you believe, say louder, amen.
Amen.
Let your neighbor hear you and heaven hears you.
Amen.
Amen. That's fine. That sounds well. With this understanding, as a disciplined church, as a faithful church who has a strong faith in Christ Jesus, we are going to further. So now, verse 6. So then, as you are disciplined in your faith, you have a strong faith, firm faith in Christ. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in your lives in Him. That is the first thing He says. You already know? Continue to remain or live in Him. How? Rooted, built up in Him, strengthened in faith, and you were, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is the season for thanking God. Already we have started. As we are in the end of the year, even I can say that, and you also will agree with me, you may not be able to thank our God for His faithfulness. It's very sad. Very, very sad. See the greeting. You are a well-disciplined people. Your faith is, you have a very firm faith in Christ. For you, the words comes to you that we are very good in thanking our God for His faithfulness. Very few. We will not be able to thank our God enough in our life. Whatever in the past, the present life is not enough. Whatever God has been to you in the past this many years, your physical life, your stay in this country, and what all His provisions in your personal life, in your family life, more than that, in your spiritual life, we are nurtured enough. Enough. For that, how much we should thank God. That's why I said, we may not be thank God enough in our life. And if it is not enough for the past life, how much or how far we prepare ourselves to thank our God for the future. So on this basis, let me continue the message. And I'm not going to all in full, but when the time comes, we will highlight the rest of the words from the same scripture. So what is the secret of living a Christian life? We all start off so well. We receive Christ as our Savior, and we are filled with the excitement and the prospect of new life in Christ. And we have a different age differences. It is not the physical age I am talking about. I am talking about the spiritual age. And physically we may be elder, but spiritually some of us still may be younger. So still, but here we have a differences in our age by accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. But altogether, we are one now. We are in Christ. Amen. We are in Christ. Amen. We accepted our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. Amen? So in that, our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven. Amen. Pay attention to every statement. If you acknowledge, your reward will be in heaven. I need not appreciate you for your amen. You expect from God. That shows how much you are spiritually, in your faith, you are firm and you are rooted. If you accept, amen. Amen. Right. So we have assurance that we will go to heaven when we die. That's fine. And we know that our whole life just changed. We want to live a Christian life which will please Him. Why it is so? Or sometimes, what is the secret of living in your Christian life? First I say, it is hard to live as a Christian life. To become a Christian is easy. To accept Jesus Christ is easy. But to live as a Christian, to follow Christ, is not very easy. How many of you believe that? Right? Thank you for your honest acceptance. And God will help us. God will give us the grace to follow Him faithfully. Amen? Because we have a destination. The people of the world, they do not have the destination. But we as a believer, those who accepted our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we have assurance, we have a destination. Amen? Amen. Thank you. And in today's message, Paul tells us the three things about living the Christian life. That's I titled, Living in Christ. Living your Christian life. The Christian life is marked by faith in Christ. Marked in faith in Christ. Believe that? Yeah. And freedom in Christ. Yeah. And it is also marked by fullness in Christ. These are all the titles what we are going to see in a couple of times. We received Christ Jesus Christ by faith. Now we should continue to live in Him by faith. We found freedom in Christ. Now we should see that no one takes us captive through false teaching. That is a warning. We received a fullness in Christ. And it will take Paul to rest of the letter to explain all of them. The fullness means what it means it. What is the secret to living the Christian life? Let's find out. As number one, faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. By faith, yeah. First of all, Christian life is marked by faith in Christ. Look at verses 6 and 7, as I mentioned to you before. Look at your scripture, your word, 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Why it is mentioned? It is very true. All of you know. How was your attitude when you received Christ first time in your life? There are plus and minus. Some of them, those who accepted Christ, they are growing. They can see the spiritual growth in them, and for that, many testimonies are there. But the negative side, there are people accepted Christ, they are very excited, very enthusiastic, very active, they can see here and there, everywhere, but after that, they're getting cool, going down and down. Not it is what we see, but more than what we see physically, it is God who sees their heart, God who sees their activities, it is God who sees their prayer life, it is God who sees their Bible reading, the meditation, it is God who judges. It is not, none of us can judge one another by looking at their external or outward activities. I cannot say that from here. But you yourself will know how was your spiritual start and how is today. For you, the message is today. And here, what he says, continue to live in him. And rooted, we have to go deep. And not only that, build up in him and strengthened in faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. That's what 6 and 7 says. So what Paul says here, your Christian life begin with faith in Christ and it must be also continue with faith in Christ. Amen? Amen? Right. By faith, you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. This is the earliest Christian confession. Jesus is Lord. Do you remember when did you confess Jesus Christ as the Lord? When is the time first we confess Jesus Christ is the Lord and is your Lord? During the time of baptism, that is a very identical. Whatever you believed before, that is different. On that day, before baptism, if you remember that you confess, Jesus Christ is the Lord and my Savior, that is the remarkable one. That divide your past life and the future life. As Jesus Christ, even the world is divided, before Christ and after Christ. And some of us, we may well remember our physical birth. Some of us, even for that also, very sad to say, they don't identify their physical birth on this earth. How many of you remember your born again date, your physical, spiritual birth in your life? How many of you remember? Can I see your hands? That's fine. That is the greatest and the blessed day in our life. That birthday, second birthday, born again time, is much more better than our physical birth. Amen? Amen. It may not be recorded elsewhere. Maybe the church may have the record when you are baptized. But it is not going to help you widely in the world, but it is recorded there in heaven. If you believe, say amen for that. You should be excited because your name is written in heaven. Amen. Right, that's fine. By faith, you receive Christ as the Lord and Savior. Paul says you need to live in Christ the same way you received him. The Christian life begins with the faith in Christ, as it is mentioned. Christian life continues to with faith in Christ as well as we have started. So the Christian life is not simply faith as a set of teaching, but faith in a person. Our faith is in a person. It is the relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Our faith is not only in the Word, but our faith is in God. Our faith is have a relationship. The Christian life is lived in Christ. Christ lived in you, and therefore you live for your life for Him. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as your Lord, you continue, as I said, Paul is confessing Jesus as Lord means that everything we do turns around Him. Christ is the central. And a Christian life is founded on Christ and Christ alone. It is not founded on your goodness or your works or your merit. The Christian life is founded on faith in Christ and Christ alone. Amen? Amen. So the first thing is about rooted and built up in Him. John 15:5, what did he say?
I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
So Jesus is the root and the source of Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life apart from Christ. So if rooted refers to the foundation, it has to be built. Some of us may be in the foundation level for many years. There is nothing built on it. So it has to be built. That's what Paul encourages here. So here, the foundation, we should build on that foundation. Your continuation of your growth as your Christian life is very much necessary, which is encouraged here. Just as you began your Christian life in faith in Christ, you must continue. You must build on that. You cannot start a Christian life without Him, and you cannot grow as a Christian without Him. You are rooted in Him, and you are built up in Him. Once again, it is all in Christ. Christ is the center. Amen? Amen? Secondly, strengthened in the faith as you are taught. Acts 20:32.
Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So here, even in verse 7, Colossians 1:7 says, you are strengthened in the faith as you were taught. The word translated strengthened in this word means established or made firm. Not only must you have faith in Christ, you must also be well grounded in your faith. You should establish in your faith. So what are the, it should not have just a foundational faith alone. We should grow in our faith. We should establish in our faith. That's what he is mentioning here. So the faith here refers teaching of Christian faith. And the gospel of Christ, the teaching of Christ, the truth about Christ as found in the scriptures. Paul is telling them and us, don't be fooled by false teachers or false teaching. Stick with the gospel. Stay grounded in the Christ and the Word of God, the Bible alone. Don't go looking for new teachings outside of Christ. Grow in what you already know. What was rooted, what was foundation, just grow in it. Don't try to receive something else apart from Christ. That's what's the meaning of strengthened in faith as you were taught. Thirdly, in the same, overflowing with thankfulness. There are a couple of scriptures over there, Colossians 1, 3 and 12, 2, 7, 3, 15, 16, 17. I'm not going to read them all, but we'll move because of the time. Living by faith in Christ means being rooted and built up in Him, being strengthened in faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Thirdly, it says that you overflow in thankfulness. That was I mentioned beginning. So we should have that attitude of thanking God for everything. This is the secret of Christian living. Thanking God for everything. God for thanking everything means everything. If you think it is good, thanking is nothing. But if you think it is bad, thanking God in that situation, that makes sense. That makes the difference. If you are going through hardship, in a difficult time, if you are facing, if you are unable to pray, when you pray and thanking God, that makes sense. That makes the difference. It will be possible, understood, only those who have that experience. So if you don't have that experience, learn to thank Him. Learn to thank Him. Why I say it is a secret, first of all, time to time, always I used to tell, yes, a sign of a matured Christian is, he will hold on his peace all situation. To keep you in peace of God, only way is, learn to thank Him for everything what is around, you are surrounded with. You have to look at, for what? If you met with an accident, for an example, if you met with an accident, you have to thank God. Why you have to thank God? God has protected your life. God is concerned about your soul more than your body. And nothing is your lose it. Whatever, even if you found, I'm sorry to say this, even if you lose a part of your body, doesn't matter. Your soul is precious to God. You'll make heaven. In that you have to thank God. It is not possible for everyone to accept it. I cannot ask you to. But all these things will come from your personal experience. Only that proves your spiritual maturity. Maturity is not from the word, how much knowledge you have. We need it. Why the knowledge? To know about the goodness of God, to praise Him, who He is in your life. And that is necessary. You have to read and read, study, have the knowledge, wisdom, to thank Him, to know who He is. Then only you can experience what He has been to you personally. Then we will come to worship. What He has been to you in your day-to-day life. When you go to the Lord in prayer, God will teach you, break your heart, and He will make you to worship Him. So the secret of that, so we had a very good, wonderful session of our praise and worship in the month. And that could have been played last week. And you might have seen that. What a wonderful time it is. What is praise? What is worship? How it has come? How the words come? Yes. When we need the knowledge to praise God for what God is. What you know about Him. And for that, we have to lift up our eyes and our hands towards Him as a sign of it is lifted up unto God. When it comes to pray, when you understand God's answer, and when God answered you, you will be broken in your spirit. You are understanding your unworthiness to praise Him. Then your head will be down. You look at ground, and without word, you will be struggling how to thank Him. You may not have understand in your spirit, and you may not be able to thank him enough for God has been. When you are broken, whenever you have a broken heart, then the words come. That is worship. So we had a wonderful time. So I encourage all of you, and it's a privilege, and to know who our God is necessary at the same time. Personal experience in our day-to-day lives makes us to prove our maturity, our strength and firmness in our faith, and on that we have to build, and also we should have a thankful heart all the time in our life for each and everything, whether it is small, whether it is small or great. Small thing, just like that. Suppose I missed something. It was kept under one of the paper on the table. And I was looking for it. So I was in a hurry to come out. So when I pray, you are the one who, whatever I lost it, you found it. God reminds me, okay. Just remove the paper, I saw that in down. So I thank God for that. So like that, small things. You pray, God hears, God answers, you will thank God for that. If you're thanking God, God will reward you. We'll go quickly. In 10 minutes. Freedom in Christ. What is the first one? Faith in Christ. What is the second one? Freedom in Christ. Verse 8. Sister, verse 8.
See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ.
That is very well, you may understand that. We should not go for traditional or man-made people and doctrines, and we should not listen to that. We should not depend on that, and we should go exactly to the Word of God. The word translated by the phrase here is, see to it. In this verse, a word that means beware. It's a warning. Beware. Watch out. These are all the translation. So we should not be captured by any means of the world, as we should be strong enough and exercising the freedom. As long as you are rooted and built up in Christ and strengthened in faith, as you are taught and overflowing with thankfulness, you are not going to fall prey to any cult or wrong doctrine. And on this endeavor, number one, watch out for hollow and a deceptive philosophy. The deceitful or the first one, yes. The watchful, watch out and hollow the deceptive philosophy. Acts 20 verse 29.
I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock.
So all of you know that what Jesus has said after him, you know that I leave you, the savage wolf will come and among you and will not spare the flock. So as it is mentioned, you can understand it very well. False teaching takes place everywhere, and it is very easy nowadays and is available. Paul told in Colossians back in 1:13, He, God, has rescued us from dominion of darkness and brought us into kingdom of the Son He loves. And the thought here is, you have already been rescued. Why let yourselves to be captured again by somebody and you need again to be set free from there? So let us be aware, be watchful about it. Secondly, do not look to human tradition or a basic principle of this world. Mark 7:8.
You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions.
And you cannot get to God if you start with man. You need God's word to know the truth that sets you free. Because of the time, I have to rush up. So we read Galatians 4:3. When we were children, that is, before we came to Christ, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. Galatians 4:3 says, and also Galatians 4:8-9, you can read it. Paul says, watch out for hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather on Christ. Thirdly, true freedom is found in Christ alone. True freedom found in Christ alone. Galatians 5:1.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
Amen. So here, watch out. Be alert. Don't let anyone take you captive. It is a warning for all of us. Whoever you are, how long you have been in Christ, how long, what kind of faith you have, warning is, watchful. Be careful. And Paul says, watch out. So God, you have freedom in Christ. Thirdly, fullness in Christ. What is the first one? Fullness in? Second? Amen. Fullness in Christ. 7-9. The same scripture. 7-9. Quickly, sister. Sorry. 9 and 10.
For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lies in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ.
Okay. So, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given the fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and every authority. That is most important, to know all power, all authority, it is given to our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Under that, number one, all the fullness of God lives in Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19.
For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him.
Yes. And also what it says, which comes to even stronger when it says God's fullness dwells in Christ in a bodily form. What's the response to the false teachers? Reminder, the false teacher thought the physical world was evil and only the spiritual things were good. But Paul says God's fullness dwells in Christ bodily. Jesus was already fully God. And through the incarnation, Jesus became fully God and fully man. And he remains fully God and fully man forever. Secondly, Christ is the head over power and authority. All of us, we know. Matthew 28:16. He said, all power, all authority in heaven, on this earth, given to me. And he gave the same thing to his disciple. Yes, when he was sending them forth, even at the last word, the great commission is, I will be with you forever. I will be with you forever. Before that, he said, all the power and authority he has in heaven as well as on this earth. Even during his time, he sent the disciples, sent forth them. He gave nothing to give. You take this, you take that. But he said, power and authority. With that, he sent them out. So with that, they are gone. So I'm making quickly, you have been given full third. You have been given fullness in Christ. There are many fullnesses, and I'll read it for you. Colossians 1:9, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. That is full. Galatians 1:19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And Colossians 2:2, may you have full riches of complete understanding. Colossians 2:9-10, for God in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. Paul's point in Colossians is this: you have Christ, what more you are looking for? Everything you need from God you have in Christ. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Amen? So that is the great relationship what we have. As a conclusion and as a summary, we can go through it. Your Christian life is marked by faith in Christ. Freedom in Christ and fullness in Christ. The secret of living the Christian life is living in Christ. All glory belongs to God. God